Do you want to just start again?
Sorry. Good evening. My name's Paula Raitt. I'm the Mayor of Kingborough. It's my pleasure to welcome you all to tonight's Council meeting on Monday, the 2nd of May, 2022. Welcome to those in the public gallery. Oh, there aren't any. And watching the live stream at home via YouTube. It's 5:31 p.m. and I now declare the meeting open. I wish to advise that Council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website, and in accordance with Council's policy, I'll ask the Acting General Manager to confirm that the audio recording has started.
Confirmed.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay respect to Elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reid, Deputy Mayor Councillor Westwood, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Fox, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Street and Councillor Wass. From our staff this evening we have the Acting General Manager, Dr Stevenson, the Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, Manager of Environmental Services, Mr Dool, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. We have apologies this evening from Councillor Grace and Councillor Midgley. Confirmation of minutes. The motion is that the minutes of the open session of Council meeting number 7, held on the 20th of April 2022, be confirmed as a true record. I'm looking for a mover. Thank you, Councillor Fox, and a seconder, Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Workshops held since the last Council meeting. We haven't had a workshop last week. Turning now to page 2 and declarations of interest. Does any councillor have any interest they would like to declare? No. Thank you. Transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from open into closed session or vice versa? No. Thank you. There are no members of the public with us here this evening, so there are no questions without notice from the public. Questions on notice from the public. There was a question about beach matting on Kingston Beach from Roger Tong and an officer's response from Dr Stevenson. If members of the community would like to submit a question on notice, you can send it to kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. Questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. My question's about cat management in Kingborough and beyond. Cat management is an issue that's obviously of great importance to many residents in Kingborough, and I'm pleased to say many councillors around this table, something I've been hearing quite a lot about recently. Many residents are very impressed, actually, by the leadership role that council has taken with regards to cat management. I think it's fair to say that Kingborough Council is now leading the way around the state with how we've implemented our cat management programs. And the terrific staff that are involved with that. My question is, what is Kingborough doing to help neighbouring councils to adopt and to implement better cat management? What lessons are we sharing with councils, and by what mechanism are we sharing our newfound knowledge about cat management with councils that neighbour us? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. I share your enthusiasm for cat management, and in fact the other day on Facebook I made a comment about cats being contained, and it got so many... so much traction from people saying yes, they should be. So, Mr. Dool, did you want to help us out with the wider detail of that, please?
Thank you, Mayor. The main mechanism is through the regional strategy, which we adopted last year, and the regional cat management project, which we hosted for 3 years. That's been the main sort of vehicle for passing information on. Nikki Brookman, who was the project officer, did workshops with virtually all of the councils in the south. On the regional strategy, and that project is continuing without us hosting. It's now hosted by 10 Lives Cat Centre, and they have a new regional officer, and I think it's safe to say that that will be put a really different slant on how it's handled, because they have really good education officers. So I think local government will be well placed on the implementation of the strategy into the future, and a better understanding of what resourcing is needed to do cat management, because we certainly have demonstrated that you don't have to spend a lot of money on it to have some really good outcomes. So I really am quite confident that the smaller councils are well supported, especially in the south.
Thank you, Mr. Dool. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I note the recent plans to upgrade this snug pedestrian bridge. Just wondering if there might be any plans afoot to consider an upgrade of the Kingston Beach Bridge at Browns River.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, certainly one's that's on the plans at the moment. So we are looking at the design options for replacement of the pedestrian bridge. Similar to the snug bridge there, it's getting towards the end of its life there. And we'd also probably like to put in a bridge there which is more suitable for current standards, including a wider type bridge that would allow others to use it rather than where we have the issues at the moment with cyclists and pedestrians often meeting in the middle.
Thank you. So just to clarify, is that in our five-year capital works program?
Through you, Mayor, yes, it should be in our five-year capital works program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions without notice? Thank you. We will move on. Questions on notice from councillors on page 3. There was a question from Councillor Bastone in relation to dog poo bag dispensers and an officer's response from Mr. Reeve. And a further question from Councillor Bastone with an officer's response from Mr. Reeve in relation to traffic counters on Lighthouse Road, Bruny Island. Still on page 4, petition still being actioned, there was a report on the petition-headed upgrade to car park Taruna Bowls and Community Club, and we will be provided with a report on that in, at a future meeting. Turning now to petitions received in the last period, at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. Moving now to page 5, officers' reports to council. We move to smoke-free area declaration, Kingston Park, public open space stage 2, with a recommendation on page 9. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. I have a mover and Councillor Westwood, a seconder. All of the hands have gone up. Seconded Councillor Street, Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm taking that as a show of enthusiasm for the report we have before us, which recommends that Council make a declaration that Stage 2 of our Kingston Park public open space project be made smoke-free. That is done in accordance with the Public Health Act 1997 and follows on from a motion carried at the November 2017 Council meeting where Council in principle endorsed that this Council-owned land would be smoke-free. So Stage 2 includes some barbecue shelters. It's got a little pump track, an exercise platform, a lovely walking track around the outside of it. So lots of things where people will be enjoying being active, enjoying the fresh air. This follows on from us making Stage 1 of Kingston Park smoke-free. I fully endorse the recommendation by the officer that we proceed ahead and make Stage 2 of the Kingston Park public open space area smoke-free as well.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Are there further speakers on the motion? Councillor Walsh.
Thank you, Mayor. Likewise, I support the recommendation. I think it's important that we can, if you like, lead the way. We don't want our children and our children's children to be affected by smoke from other people and the resulting sicknesses of their bad health that they can or can emanate from that. I do have a question that on page 11, the declaration of a smoke-free area, the map, and I compare that map to page 8. I note that on page 8, the declared area is a straight line virtually following the street, whereas the other one is around it and certain areas are missed. And I'm wondering which is the correct one. Hopefully it is the one on page 8.
Mr. Dool.
Thank you, Mayor. I did ask the Officer Abbey about that, and she did say that there would be some fine-tuning of the map as part of the declaration. I think you're right. I think the one previous one is probably the right one. I pointed out that it didn't actually encompass a walking track around the outside, but she suggested that would be the case. So she made it clear that there would be a bit of tinkering with the map before we finally went to the declaration.
Excellent. Thank you. And I support that tinkering.
Thank you. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you. I support the motion, but my query is also on the map about the walking track. So they can come along the walking track until they get right next to the park, and then I can't tell from the red line whether the walking track, people walking on the walking track are able to smoke or what. I mean, are they, I'll rephrase it, sorry, are they able to smoke on the walking path?
Mayor, it's my understanding, no. That will be within the prohibited area.
Thank you. So they'll be able to smoke right up until they get to there, come through under Whitewater Creek, is it? The,
yes.
Right,
yep.
Then stop smoking and then start again at the other side of the park.
Yes, that's right, Mayor.
Thank you.
Any further speakers? No? If not, I will put the motion. It was moved by Councillor Westwood. Sorry, Councillor Westwood, did you want to sum up? Moved by Councillor Westwood and seconded by Councillor Street. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 12, Regional Strategy Adapting to a Changing Coastline in Tasmania, with a recommendation on page 15. I'm looking for mover and a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Seconded, Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a very important document, and it is my great privilege to be able to move the Regional Coastal Hazards Strategy for Southern Tasmanian Councils. The work that's been done here is comprehensive and is so important as we face more severe and frequent weather events as a result of anthropogenic climate change. What we're looking at here is, I think, one of the key work outputs of the Regional Climate Change Initiative, the RICI, and it takes a risk management approach, which is, of course, so important. It demonstrates case studies throughout the report to guide decision makers as we face these great challenges. Whilst this is a collaboration, it directly impacts Kingborough in so many ways, as we all know firsthand of the various coastal processes that are taking place here. We see it with our own eyes, and we have firsthand accounts of it, whether that's dwellings and other structures on erodible cliffs, stormwater outlets and other linear infrastructure, jetties and public and private structures, historical features, public infrastructure including boat ramps, erodible soft sediment spits and habitat, foreshore and dune flora and fauna, and of course dealing with litter and other illegal waste dumping. We look at, in this report, the four key principles. It deals strongly with public safety, with private property, with local government, and with legal risk and adaptation. And I think at this juncture, it behoves me to, ask a question of our staff to get a clear answer, as I believe is in the report, about what liability council has with respect to coastal infrastructure. And what does this report say about whose liability it is when it comes to particularly private property?
Mr. Dool.
Thank you, Mayor. As is sort of alluded to in the report, that is still really unclear, and that is an important subject in its own right. That was where the collaboration in forming the document was really interesting, because it was local government, it was LGAT, it was state government, and interestingly, it was the Port Arthur Authority. So we had a really interesting spread. And to some extent, that's what made the project quite difficult, because, for example, the state government is quite conservative on these matters, so even getting together the principles that were acceptable to everyone were quite difficult. But I think the matter of legal liability, for example, Clarence Council has got a specific policy on coastal hazards, and it's important for what it says council won't do as much as what it says council will do. And I think we would have to do the same thing. We've had a couple of issues in recent times, like at the Ilana Boat Club and things like this, where the politics of a matter take on a life of their own. So I think a clear understanding of where we will act and what assets we will be involved in protecting is really important. But a single answer to legal liability, I don't think that is really clear, and that's like a lot of climate change matters, where we make decisions in the absence of sort of indemnity, legal indemnity on issues. It is still unclear, but I think this kind of document and the statement of principles and then developing our own policy will stand us in good stead in the future to have a better understanding and a clear position on that.
Thank you. And Really, I think the take-home message for me from this report is that public safety is paramount, and we all obviously agree with that, but having that risk framework within which to operate is so important. Based on that answer there, we all do share some collective responsibility for making sure that we keep each other safe and that we keep our areas safe. So in the way that council needs to keep its areas safe, private property owners who occupy coastal areas, they do so at their own risk, and they need to ask, a series of questions about their risk appetite, and council does play a role, as it says on the report on page 29, about the council and the Crown. The council and the Crown accept no obligation to fund the repair of damage from erosion, inundation or extreme climate events, but council has a role to play in letting people know that that is the position. And there's also comprehensive conversations in this report about legal risk and adaptation. Something that I thought was really interesting and important, when we start to confront really very serious issues about at what point do we talk about retreat and things like that, there are some cases in which, as it says in the report, doing nothing can be a deliberate option, but also sometimes you do have to make a really significant decision. So I'll just point out on page 45, under 3.3, identify options, where it says that these may include policy and planning options, community capacity building options, ecosystem-based adaptation options. And it's also important to recognise the potential for having sequences of options enabling you to take a pathways approach and avoid unnecessary expenditure. And then it goes on to say, and this is the bit that kind of alerted, piqued my interest, that such sequences may include initially using cheaper ecosystem-based options, such as dune restoration and enhancement through replanting. And once these options stop working, more engineering and cost-intensive solutions may be necessary. The report does, at one point, talk about how there's often a lot of political pressure to make these hard engineering approaches, you know, build that seawall, build that wall kind of idea. But in fact, many a time, a cheaper, a more cost-effective approach is to actually enhance the environment through replantings and environmental remediation, and actually caring for country and caring for the area around you is oftentimes the best way to get a longer-term, more sustainable approach before you start entering down that hard engineering road. So I think the report is timely in that we're all seeing, both on the mainland and here, more frequent and severe weather events, but now at least we have a framework to guide us in our decision-making processes, and I just want to once again thank the staff that were involved at our council and others in doing this important work. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Are there any further speakers? I won't ask you to sum yourself up. you could if you liked, but... so I'm going to put the recommendation as printed on page 15, moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We move now to page 58, delegated authority policy, with a recommendation on page 60. I'm looking for a mover, Councillor Street, and a seconder, Councillor Westwood. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. We have before us an updated delegated authority policy, which is in part thanks to the work of Legat for compiling a standard register of areas of responsibility for local government and potential areas for delegation. I think the one thing that this policy and the work of Legat in putting together this register, or the basis of this register, shows is the huge amount of regulation for which local government is responsible, and the huge amount of legislation for which local government is responsible. Clearly, we hadn't covered the field with our previous policy, and it's very difficult to do so because of the sheer breadth of responsibility that we have and the matters which council can delegate to the general manager for the sake of efficiency. I'm of the view that all of the matters that are in the policy and the register are those matters that... it makes good governance sense for council to delegate to the general manager, and for the general manager to be able to delegate or make those delegations to staff where he's allowed to do so by the register. And I commend the motion to council.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Any further speakers? Councillor Gladright.
Have other councils taken this same approach?
I imagine, given it's come from Legat, that they would have, but Dr. Stevenson.
Through you, Mayor. The original idea came from a council who had done the work and suggested that it might be a good proposition for other councils. So, yes, a number of councils have taken this approach.
Thank you. Any further speakers? No, don't want to sum yourself up there. Okay, I will put the recommendation as printed on page 60, moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Westwood. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 123, motions of which notice has been given at the time the agenda was compiled. There were no notices of motion that had been received. Surprisingly now, at only 10 to 6, we turn to confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. In accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes and applications for leave of absence. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, Councillor Fox, and seconded by Councillor Wass. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Now, before I do close this and we go into closed session, I just needed to say one important thing, and that is go Tassie Jack Jumpers for 7:30 tonight, because I'm very invested in that game, as I'm sure we all are, and maybe that's why everybody's been a little quieter tonight, so that there's sufficient time for everyone to get home. But regardless of whether they win or not, it's been fabulous. So, in accordance with Kingborough Council's meetings audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. Open session of Council adjourned at 5:52 p.m.